Well, brothers and sisters, it's for me a privilege to be here again after my last visit, which was about 7 years ago. I'm sorry not to have come before. Hope my next visit is not that far away. But as I was sharing the first hour, I was sharing a little bit with you about what the Lord has been doing in Spain in the last few years, and how beautiful is the country of Spain. It's a beautiful country. It has a lot of light, humanly speaking, but it's lacking the real light, the light of the gospel, the light of God. And it's our goal to share that light, the true light, with our own people there in Spain. And I would like to share with you a sermon on John chapter 8, when the Lord tells us of himself as the light of the world. John chapter 8, we will focus especially on verse 12, a passage that probably you have heard and read many, many times. It says, John 8, 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We could read a broader section on this passage, but I would like to focus on this verse. It says a lot about the gospel. It says a lot about the light, the spiritual light we all need. It says a lot about the Lord Jesus Christ, and it says a lot about our mission as Christians, as we share this light of the gospel, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the first thing that strikes me a lot is how many times the Lord shares with us spiritual truths, which are very deep, very profound, but the Lord is using very simple examples so we can understand. If you see the parables of the Lord, or when the Lord says, I am, he's comparing himself to basic things. He compares himself to water, the water of life. He compares himself to bread, the bread of life, to a path, to a door. And now he's comparing himself to the light, which is very basic, very simple. So we all can remember those spiritual truths when we see the light, or when we see bread, when we see water. And he's comparing himself to those very basic things so we can understand that we need of him so desperately. We cannot live without water, without bread, without light. So in a spiritual sense, we depend on him. It's so, so important for us. But now the topic in this sermon and in this passage is the light. And I remember when I was a kid and I went on summer to a summer Christian camp. Many of you probably have gone to the camp, and you have a list of those things you have to take with you. And don't forget your toothbrush, and don't forget your different things for the camp. And one of those things in my list always was a flashlight. And you need the flashlight because if you are walking in the forest at night, you need the flashlight to find a way. And we all the kids had a flashlight to use in those camps. But I remember in a special way one of the camps, and one of the counselors, one of the teachers, he had a huge flashlight like this. It was, wow, it was wonderful. And he used that flashlight in many senses. Sometimes we were walking in the forest and used the flashlight to point to us, just to be sure that we were still there, we were not lost. Sometimes use the flashlight to point to the path, so we all could see where we were walking. But the most useful thing was when he used that big flashlight to point to himself. He put the flashlight like this, close to his body, and we could see him shining in the dark. It was like a torch. It was like a walking flashlight, himself. we all could see him, and it was the most useful way not to get lost. We could see him in the middle of the dark. And when I was thinking on this passage, I remember a lot of that experience as a kid. When the Lord says, I am the light. It's really amazing that the Lord is not saying, I know where the light is. Do you want a clue? The Lord is not saying, I can share a little bit of light with you. The Lord is not saying, there is some light in you, you must find it. The Lord is not saying, I am one light, would you pick me? The Lord is saying, I am the light. I am himself, the light. Follow me. Follow me. I am the light. I am the way. I am the truth. Not just follow the light, but that he himself is the light we must follow. And we are in a desperate need of light. Probably you are sitting there today and you are in need of light in your life. Probably you feel in the darkness. Probably you feel lost. Probably you feel disoriented. And the Lord is giving us the answer. He says, I am the light. Follow me. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Scripture. Look for his wisdom, his words, his counsel, his comfort, his peace, his hope. And he says, I am the light of the world. This is a topic that the Apostle John uses many, many times in his gospel and his letters. The light. Already in the beginning of the Gospel of John, he starts saying, chapter 1, verse 9, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He compares the Lord Jesus Christ with that spiritual light. And in the first chapter of John, John is using some words like man, world, light that remind us of creation. In fact, John the Apostle is writing his gospel as a new Genesis. In the beginning, he says, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. When John starts talking about the beginning, it reminds us of Genesis. And in fact, he's describing a new Genesis, but not the creation of all material things, but the creation of all spiritual things. That new Genesis John is introducing to us in his gospel is the beginning of the people of God, of the church, of his kingdom. So for that kingdom to start, the light has to come. Just like in the Genesis, God created all things, but first there was light. Now the light has to come from heaven to earth so that the new life we experience can start. In his gospel, John describes the new Genesis of the church. Just like in the beginning, the earth was formless and empty. In a spiritual sense, we were formless and empty. We needed the light of God to experience the new birth. God sends his light, the Lord Jesus Christ. The world is spiritually formless and empty, is lost, is dead, is chaotic. God sends the light, Jesus Christ, and starts a new creation, his church. And the Lord Jesus says, I am the light. And I would like to share with you five basic truths we find in this passage. Five truths that flow from these words of the Lord Jesus Christ, from this expression, I am the light. Let's take this wonderful sentence and squeeze it like an orange to take all the juice. And the first is this: when the Lord says, I am the light, we understand the world is in darkness. The world is in deep spiritual darkness. There is no light. in the world. Just like in Genesis chapter 1, the world was in darkness. The earth is in complete spiritual darkness. Scripture says that all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. In the Spanish Bible, we find it this way: están destituidos de la gloria de Dios, which means they are removed, they are displaced from God's glory. We have no more access to God's glory because of our transgressions and our sins. We have no entrance to God's glory because of our rebellion. Yesterday, I flew from Barcelona. I came into the U.S. and they checked my passport. They checked the policeman, checked my passport, and there was a computer and my fingerprints and all the process, you know, to get in the country. Let's say that I had committed a crime in the U.S. in the past. It's not the case, don't worry. But let's say I committed a crime in the U.S. and I tried to enter the U.S. And when the policeman puts the passport and the fingerprints, ping, something pops up in his computer and say, okay, you cannot enter this country. This is your record. This is your criminal record. You did so and so and so. Because of your past, because of your history, because of your deeds, because of your criminal records, you cannot enter this country. This is what happens with our spiritual passport. If you use your spiritual passport to enter God's presence, the angels, which are supposed to be the policemen taking care of the of the entrance, the angel will say, you cannot enter God's glory. This is your criminal record. This is your past. These are your deeds. This is your rebellion. We are apart. We fall short of the glory of God. We cannot enter God's glory, God's presence. Our passport, spiritual passport, is not useful anymore to enter the presence of God. We need a new identity. We need a new passport, a heavenly one that only the Lord Jesus Christ can give you. And what happens to all people is that they are in a spiritual darkness, but everybody is a spiritual traveler looking for the light, trying to find the light. And there are so many false lights in our world. Some say to find some light in philosophies, in religions, in theories, in political systems, something that would fill you and will fill that void in your heart. But Jeremiah 17 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? So man is completely lost, is walking in the midst of darkness, looking for some light, believing his own heart, a heart that is deceitful and is always lying us. So we are always creating new lights, new fashions, new philosophies, new religions, new psychotherapies, new lights that will give some comfort, some peace, some hope, but these lights are false and are leading us to death. Always, man is always looking for some sense, making some sense to life, but life is completely empty. Just watch TV. Watch TV for a while and see and advertising about a lady who is very happy and is going to visit a neighbor and is going to share something with her. You see that ad on the TV and that lady is smiling. We say in Spanish, a smile that goes to ear, from ear to ear. I don't know if you say in English that. A big smile, going to visit her neighbor, and you see that ad and said, wow, that lady is so happy. It's probably about to share the gospel with her neighbor because she's so glad. And no, it's not about the gospel. It's all about a soap. It's the new soap and takes the new bottle of soap and say, oh, this will make you happy. Life will be so easy. You deserve it. And so on and so on and so on, you know? Well, brothers, if a soap has to change our life, we are really in a very desperate situation. Very desperate situation. And this is always what the world is trying to sell us. You'll find sense to your life in this new food, in this new computer, this new car, this new fashion, this new place, this new home. Always looking for sense to life. But life is no sense without Christ. We see this continually. This will make you happy. This will make you happy and give you comfort. And this is what you need. Man is lost in the midst of darkness, trying to follow whoever who says that has some light. But what man really needs is the true light from heaven. This is the only answer. Jesus Christ, the light. Jesus Christ, the hidden treasure. Jesus Christ, the pearl of great price. Jesus Christ, our comfort, our rock. The first great truth we find in this sentence, this passage, then, is that the world is in spiritual darkness. The second truth is that only Christ is the true light. Only Christ is the true light. Psalm 36 says, in your light we see light. It's the only true pure light, the light of Christ. Many spiritual leaders have been in the world saying that they have some light, or they have the path to the light, or that you must find some light in yourself, but no one in the whole of history, nobody has ever said what the Lord Jesus Christ has said. I am the light. I am the light. And you have to do something with that. If the Lord Jesus Christ says something so profound, you have to do something with that. And you only have three options. Now, following C.S. Lewis in one of his books, he says you only have three options, three things you can think and do about Jesus Christ. First of all, you might think that Jesus Christ is a liar, so he's worthy of all your anger because he's lying to so many people. Jesus Christ is a lunatic. He's a crazy. He thought he was the Son of God, but he is not. And then he is worthy of all your pity, all your mercy. Or the third option, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, is what he said, exactly what he said. So he is worthy of all your worship, because he's truly the light that came to visit us. Jesus said, I am the light. But the second truth in this passage is that only Christ is the true light. Nobody said what he said. I am the light. He did not say, I am one light. He did not say, I am the light you may pick, but there are many others. He did not say, I'm a little light. He said, I am the light. And there is just darkness outside of him. The light means that he is the only light. If you look anywhere else, you only find darkness. He is the light. He's so exclusive. I am the light. You know, if the Lord were invited in one of those ecumenical meetings where all the spiritual leaders and religions are sitting there and sharing about what they understand as truth, and Jesus Christ were given the microphone for his time, and he had 5 minutes, the Lord would stand up, take the mic, and say, I am the light of the world. He would be kicked out of the meeting for narrow-minded, intolerant. How can you say you are the light? But he is exactly what he said. He is the light. There is no light in other religions. There is no light in other philosophies. There is no light in whatever you may look for in the world. He is the light. There is no other. He is not like a little candle you can put in your home. He is like the sun. He's the light of the world. So if the first truth is that the world is in a spiritual darkness, the second truth is that he is the light, the only light. The third truth is that the light shows the truth. The light shows reality. The light of the world. The Lord is the light of the world. That does not mean that he saves every single person in the world, but that no one can escape to his light. All people are under the light of the sun, even those who are blind. He is the light for all. Even for those who close their eyes, he is the light of the world. There is no other light. He is the light for all, for those who love the light, for those who repent, and also for those who hate the light, for those who want to hide. He is the light to all. And you may think, why would someone hate the light? Well, let me put a very simple example. This morning, you woke up. You stretch a little bit. You went to the bathroom. You put yourself in front of the mirror. You switch the light on, and then you saw reality in front of you. Your hair, your face, and whoa, what is this? And then you have different options if you see reality in front of you. First of all, you can switch the light off. Of course. You can say, oh, what is this? And switch the light off and say, oh, I'm more relaxed right now. Thank you, Lord. It was just horrendous what I saw. You have another option is to leave the light on and blame the light. Look what the light did to my hair. It was perfect yesterday, and now I switch the light on, and look, this is horrible. I didn't see this before. But you have a third option. With the light on, in front of the mirror, accept reality, and start doing something. Comb your hair and shave, etc., etc., etc. Yeah. Accept what the light is showing you, and start doing something. The same in a spiritual sense. When you are introduced to Christ, when you introduce Christ to someone, those are the options we have in front of us. The light shows the truth of your heart. You cannot escape that reality. That your heart is sinful, that you need of a Savior, that you need to repent, that you need to come to him in faith, that you need to humble yourself, that you need the Spirit to start changing things in you. That's a reality that the light is showing in your heart. Some just want to switch Christ off. Don't tell me more. I don't want to listen to about the gospel. Another Christian. I want to flee from the church. I really don't want to be exposed to the light, because they know what it means to be exposed to the light. You also have the option to blame Christ. So many people, when you open the gospel and share about God's will for your life and so on, so many people don't want to listen and start blaming Christ. What do you think you are, a Christian? You think you are perfect? Are you judging me? I'm a good person, and so on and so on and so on. They start complaining, they start using several excuses and so on. They blame the light. But the light is only showing the reality, what is truth in your heart. But the third option is a good one. When you are exposed, when you are presented to the light of the gospel, you better start doing something. Repent and ask the Lord to change your heart. The Lord says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And he is the truth. in front of us. And there is a fourth truth. There is a fourth truth in this passage when the Lord says, I am the light. And the truth is that we Christians walk in light. We Christians follow the light. Just recently, I finished in Barcelona a series of sermons on the first letter of John, and the light is a big topic, and I put a name to the whole series of sermon, let's walk in light. Let's walk in light. We Christians walk in light. The passage says, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. So it seems that the Lord is the light, and he's probably pointing to the sun and saying, I am the light of the world. In a spiritual sense, I am the light for all of you. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. So the Lord is the light, but he is the light that moves. The Lord is the light, but it is a walking light. The Lord is the light, but because it's the light that moves, it's the light on the way. And we follow the light. And we are not in darkness because we follow the light. He's a living light. It's a moving light. It's a traveling light. It's a light that guides us. And this expression reminds me a lot of the Exodus, when the people of Israel were exiting the land of Egypt. And God was leading his people by a pillar of cloud and during the night by a pillar of fire. And that pillar of fire, can you imagine that pillar of fire leading the people of Israel in the midst of the desert, the cold desert? It was giving light, was giving warmth, was giving guidance, a pillar of fire, and the people of Israel following the light. The expression of the Lord Jesus Christ reminds me of that situation. I am the light. Whoever follows me, we are his new people, his Israel. We follow him. He's the pillar of fire in the midst of us. We follow him and we have warmth, we have light, we have guidance, we have hope, we have everything. We have freedom following that pillar of fire in front of us. Just like the people of Israel follow the pillar of fire in the midst of the night, we, his church, follow his spiritual light, and we walk in light. And the word of God is a light to our feet. We follow his will. We follow his commands. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. God is light to his people, even in the midst of difficulties. Psalm 127, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? The Messiah will come, says Isaiah 42. The Messiah will come to be light to the nations. And now the Lord Jesus Christ comes and he's applying everything the Old Testament says about Jehovah. He's applying to himself. He comes and says to us, I am the light of the world. Whatever you have heard about the light in the revelation of God is true of me. I am the light of God. The light has come. I am the light. Just follow me. I am the one you were expecting. I am the Messiah. I am the Redeemer. I am the Savior. I am the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ is God himself visiting us. We just have to follow him. We, his people, walk in light. We follow the light. But there is a fifth and last point in this passage. And it is this, that Christ is the light of life. He is the light of life. As I said in the beginning, the Lord compares himself to very basic things, so we understand that we are nothing without him. We are nothing without him. He's the bread of life, the water of life, the light of life. We need him to be spiritually alive. Without light, the whole planet would die. We all would die. Animals, plants. The light comes to give light life to this earth. Have you seen how the plants grow? Searching for the light. If you plant a plant in a corner in your yard, the mosquito corner, and you wait how it grows, it will grow searching for the light. That's a wonderful representation of what happens to our heart. Needs the light. Searching light. Needs the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the light gives life to us. We need the light of the Lord. Only Christ can give you real life. Real life. You will not find life in anything else. Those persons who are following any religion don't find life. They are just following a set of rules, but are not finding life, joy, freedom, hope. I remember one day talking to a neighbor. He was asking me about the Christian faith. I gave him a Bible. We were talking. And in the midst of the conversation about religion and Christ and so on, he said, "But David, don't you think all the religions are just the same?" And I said, "Yes, they are just the same." He was kind of shocked, because he thought, okay, he was trying to convince me about Christianity, and now he says all the religions are the same. I said, "Yes, they are just the same. They say they have light, they have hope, and there is nothing. There is nothing in them. You are just in the same place, or even in a worse condition." "What? But Christ," I continued. "Yeah, all the religions are just the same. Just put your best efforts to do something, but you get nowhere. But Christ." Christ is not a religion. Christ is something different. Christ is completely different. Religion is man in the midst of darkness trying to reach the light. The gospel is that the light came to visit us and give us life, abundant life. And so many people go just from one religion to another in a long, long pilgrimage, getting nowhere, completely empty. Like the man who is looking for the pearl of great price, but never finding it. But when someone sees the light of Jesus Christ, then our souls that are thirsty can drink the true water of life. Christ is different. Christ is not a religion. Religion is the effort of man to reach heaven. Christ is the one from heaven to came to earth. Absolutely different. Only Jesus Christ said, "I am the light," so we can believe in his world, in his words, because we could not reach the light by ourselves. He had to come and visit us. The passage continues. The conversation in John chapter 8 with the Pharisees has a lot of teaching. The Lord is saying about himself many things. "I am the one from above who came from heaven." He also says, "I have to be lifted up," obviously pointing to the cross and his resurrection and his glory. "I have to be lifted up." He also says, "I am going away," in this very same chapter. That's very interesting, because the Lord says, "I am the light," but then he says, "I am going away." The light came to earth, but now the Lord says, "I am going away." So we think many things. He's someone who came because he's light, because we were in a spiritual darkness. He came, but now he's going away. So the earth, the world, man is back again in the same spiritual darkness. What will happen to us? What will happen to the nations? What will happen to the world if the Lord is the light and he came, but he is going up to heaven again? And indeed, the Lord ascended to heaven, but the world is not in darkness again, because the Lord told us, "You are the light of the world." Oh, brother, can you imagine? He is the light, but now he says to us, you are the light of the world. No, the world is not in darkness because we are here. The world is not in darkness. And you may think, oh Lord, no, I'm not the light of the world. I am not. I know of my life. I know of my sins. I know of my weakness. I know of my testimony. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not coming from heaven. I'm not perfect. My words are so weak, so imperfect. We are the light of the world, brothers, but not because you have light in yourself, but because you have to shine his light. He is the sun. You are the moon. And in the midst of the darkness, you can walk with the light of the moon. He is the sun. You are the moon. The Lord is not asking you to produce light of yourself, but to light with his light. He is the sun. You are the moon. Just like the moon has no light in herself, but is shining the same light that comes from the sun, we have to shine his light in our world, in our hearts. We are light in the midst of the darkness. When you preach the gospel, when you share your testimony, when you open the word to your kids, when you share of your life with your neighbor, your classmate, we all are missionaries in this room, not just me. We all are missionaries. We all are evangelists. We all are teachers. We all have to share what the Lord is doing in our hearts, in our lives. When we open a scripture and when we let someone read in our lives, which are our feelings, our thoughts, our goals, our dreams, how we want to please our Lord and Savior, that's producing an impact to all those around us. We are the light of the world. The Lord ascended to heaven, but his church is light in the midst of darkness. And that testimony has to bright, has to produce a difference in our context. Because this world is in darkness and needs the light of Christ, the Lord sends us to be light into the darkness. And if you are here in this world, it's because the Lord wants you to shine his light till the day he calls you to his presence. So come to him, receive light, and you will say, like the blind man, you will say, I was blind, but now I see. The Lord opened my eyes, and now I see. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the U.S. Jesus is the light of Spain. Jesus is the light of all nations. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we want to ask you in this very same day, those of us that have seen the light, because the light was revealed to us, that you may continue using us to shine in the midst of darkness. In spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our sins, in spite of our suffering, in spite of our battles, that the light of Jesus Christ may shine through these imperfect tools in a world that desperately needs to see the light. Lord, we ask you to give us strength, to give us boldness, to give us your wisdom to share the good news of the gospel wherever we are, to shine your light to all those around us. And for those here that still don't know you, that you may open their blind eyes so they can see the light. They can see the precious, wonderful light of Jesus Christ, that may adore you in a humble spirit, and you may transform their hearts into your likeness. Thank you for the great comfort we find in these words in a scripture. You are the light of the world. There is no other light. We follow the light. We are in the best place in the world. We are following the true path. We have entered the narrow gate. We follow the light, and the light is guiding us to your presence. And give us that light to our feet that is your word, that we may read it and we may believe it and we may obey your commands. For those who still don't believe, that your light may shine in their hearts and you may start a new creation. In Jesus' name we ask you, amen.